7 o'clock, I call to order the meeting of the Papio NRD. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copy Open Meetings Act is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda, I'd like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. The directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. With that, a quorum call.
Becky.
Here.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Fowler. Brenwald.
Here.
Dabb.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Minsky.
Here.
Peter.
Here.
Here. I have Sue's absence for Director Tim Fowler. Item 4, adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Brenwald.
Aye.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Minsky.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Enter.
Yes. And 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Roll call.
Conley.
Aye.
Brenwald.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Minsky.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Shepherd.
Yes. I have here proof of publication, the occurrence of this meeting and the appropriate newspapers. I'm going to move on to item 8, agency and association reports. Neil, you're always on top. Natural Resource Conservation Service report. Neil.
Good evening. Talk a little bit first about more storm damage and some of the programs that we've created to assist some of the producers. One new initiative under EQIP would allow people to put cover crop on their cropland. These are probably going to be land that they're not going to be able to plant corn and beans on because they either got too much sand sitting on them or they got scour holes out there that are anywhere from 5 to 25 feet deep. And so it's a challenge to get anything to grow on some of these sites that have got the sand. Once the wind gets to blowing, anything that gets up 2 inches, the sand just comes in and just cuts it right off. So it's a challenge. So hopefully maybe by offering to allow them to put cover crop out there, we can get something growing on these sites. Another thing, we talked about it last month. We've got producers that have lost livestock. They need to dispose of those livestock properly. And so they've extended the deadline on that till July 1st. To allow them to come in. You know, they've probably been dealing with other things, but they can come in and apply for that program. The day they came in, we can give them a waiver and get that approved, and then they can go ahead even before the contract gets started. So we're working with them on that. Another thing that we talked about last week is the emergency watershed program. This one is more for dealing with infrastructure. And so far, the three counties to the north have all put applications in. I'm expecting Douglas and Sarpy to put in applications here in the next week. And I'm following up with Washington County to see if they're yet going to put in an application. But the requirement is that you have to apply within 60 days of the disaster. And so they made the decision the disaster happened in March. And so May 20th is the deadline to submit applications under that program. But a lot of what we're getting applications for is bridge abutments and erosion from creeks and rivers next to roads and stuff. So probably dealing with all the counties with multiple projects in each of the counties under that program. On a lighter note now, I found this article. It was kind of interesting, talking about eastern red cedar. Eastern red cedar can be a very weed tree in that it spreads very easily. And in pastures like out in western Nebraska, they can lose 60% of their production for livestock if they let their cedar trees go. And so but they're excellent trees to put in a windbreak. But if you do, then they spread. And so, I think out west they'd like to call them a noxious weed, other than they can't afford to control them when they get out of control. So what they're trying to do in Manhattan, cedars are a male and female. So instead of trying to plant trees from seed, they're trying to graft them. And they've had some fairly good success on getting them to grow. But cedar trees is a taproot. When they're grafting them, they're more of a fibrous root. And so they still got some kinks to work out to be able to make that work. But if they can certainly can guarantee that we can have male trees for our windbreaks, so that would go a long ways to allow us to use those in windbreaks without them spreading into pastures. The other thing that was interesting that they talked about, deer problem on their site when they try to do their research projects. You know, they do a lot of tree and shrub plantings, and the deer will just come in there and decimate their projects. Well, they found a way that if they put in electric fence around that's, you know, normal height. Normally, you got to go 10 feet to keep them from in. But they said if they put another electric fence about 3 feet inside, they said the deer perception, they think this fence is real tall, and so then they won't jump it. And they've had pretty good luck that way, and a pretty cheap alternative than putting a 10-foot high fence in to keep deer out. But I want to know which deer they asked as to how they knew that they don't have perception to see that the fence they can't jump over. So it's kind of an interesting article. You might want to take a look at that. Any questions?
What do they do with the sand? You said there's 2 or 3 feet of sand on some of these properties, and there could be hundreds of acres. So what do you do with all the sand?
You either haul it away or haul it into the holes that you have. Sometimes you get 2010, I know in Douglas Sarpy, there was fields that had 3 foot of it.
Right.
Now, if you only got about 4 or 5 inches, you can do some deep chiseling and try to incorporate it in with your existing soil. But I know 2011, some of the fields that had got that sand, they just pushed it around. But then you can imagine that sand just doesn't grow anything. There's just no organic matter. And so to get something started in those areas is next to impossible. We put some in CRP, and even after 3-4 years, we weren't getting good stands of grass on those sites. So expensive to get rid of it.
Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Neil.
Okay.
MB, NARD, Rich Teaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Thurman. The NARD Basin Tour will be held Monday and Tuesday, June 10th and 11th. Now, if you've never been on a basin tour, it's a bus trip where they take you just to be the lower and upper route NRDs. You really get well fed, and they do a lot of after hours,
Networking.
Thank you. And it's a very fun trip. Now that does happen to be our board week, so you might be missing a Tuesday committee meeting night, but I would certainly recommend it. You have before you in your packet a information. If you're interested, contact Gene, and you have the itinerary here of some of the highlights. So I really recommend it. I'm going to be going up to the meeting. I've already done a tour on the of these two NRDs, so I won't be attending that the tour, but it's also my anniversary that night, and so I thought it'd be smart to stay home.
Good choice.
Or have my wife come with me. Anyway, that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. See, legislative report, Hush Blackwell.
I have that. Ron cannot be here this evening. He's attending another function. As you know, the governor put the exclamation point on LB 177 yesterday, signed the legislation into law. Just to give some history, on January 2018, the board voted 7-3 to introduce the legislation. The recommendation read general manager be authorized to immediately begin work within the legislative process to seek passage of legislation to extend bonding authority past the sunset date of December 31st, 2019. As with any directive we get from a majority of the board, we immediately began to work. So we started to meet with state senators immediately after that to line up bill sponsors and who was going to introduce the bill. Senator Lindstrom agreed to introduce the bill. Senators Blood and Crawford from Bellevue, Senator McDonald, Senator McAllister, Linehan, and Klosky all agreed to be co-sponsors. So we stopped at seven since the bill was 177. And so we wanted to stick with that lucky number. And not one senator we asked said no. They all agreed to be co-sponsors, and so we decided to stop at seven. After securing the bill sponsors, then we started to build a broad coalition who not only sent out letters but contacted the senators and the governor's office through the entire process. City of South Sioux, City of Blair, Dakota City, City of Omaha, Sarpy County, City of Bellevue, City of Papillion, City of Gretna, City of La Vista, City of Springfield, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, all 23, Nebraska Water Resources Association, the Greater Omaha Chamber of Commerce, Offutt Advisory and Military Advisory Groups, six private citizens, companies, and associations. All supported the bill, all sent letters of support, all worked the legislature for us. LB 77 had its hearing in the Natural Resource Committee on the February 14th. The bill was placed on general file on March 18th, and it was made a Natural Resource Committee priority bill on March 19th. April 8th, the bill advanced from general file to select file on a 28-9 vote. After a filibuster attempt by a few senators with the introduction and defeat or withdrawal of hostile amendments, the bill advanced from select file to final reading on a 36-9 cloture vote and a 34-9 vote to advance the bill to final reading. You need 33 votes to end debate. May 2nd, with no debate, the bill passed final reading on a 35-8 vote, was sent to the governor. The governor signed the bill into law on May 8th, 2019. The district did bring quite a bit of assets to bear on the debate, as well as we owe a lot of people and organizations a big, huge thank you. Dean Edson and the NARD, the NARD government relations folks, Katie Zopowski and Michelle Weber, all the NRD general managers were engaged. NRD board members throughout the state contacted their senators on our behalf. Senator Hughes, chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, and Lori Logie, Natural Resources Committee legal counsel, for making the bill a committee priority. Senator Lindstrom and his staff, obviously, the governor's chief of staff, all the governor's policy people, policy research office, all were great helps. Jeff Mikesell with MILTAG, Rita Sanders, former Bellevue mayor, Papillion Mayor David Black in the United Cities, and others too numerous to name. Other board members participated. Jim Thompson testified at the public hearing, contacted senators. Larry Bradley actually did a rotunda tour with me, came down one day to work the rotunda and talk to senators. Danny Begley spoke with several senators and drafted a response to some issues that came his way. He may address that later. I know Kevin Sapinski contacted senators. Tim McCormick reached out to the governor's chief of staff. Director Teaser provided support with the NARD folks and the other NRD directors from around the state, and other directors participated in other ways as well. But the biggest advantage we had, and this was comments from senators as well as lobbyists and everybody that we worked with, we provided accurate information within minutes, literally within minutes, and especially during floor debate. We would have senator staff come out and ask questions. They needed information. We would get that to them immediately. I know Gene, Carrie, Amanda, Paul, Marlon, Jennifer, Brent Meyer, all helped tremendously. I would call them and we'd have information like that. One of the big helps was Carrie. I took her down for one day. It literally took her 20 minutes to sit down with a senator and explain public budgeting, explain how we budget, and to address this constant thing that we had 20 million or whatever the number was that day of cash reserves laying around. Carrie explained how the difference between when a draft budget is drafted in June compared to when the budget is adopted in September and how those funds are obligated or assigned at that particular time. That senator went on and talked to other senators about, hey, if you really need to know the story, they'll bring down their accountant and talk to you. But one thing that also did was then the senator started questioning what information they were getting and how they were getting it and who was giving it to them. So it served two purposes. We not only educated them, but then we also brought questions of what information was given to them. So I can't thank staff enough. And I know I screwed up Gene's presentation to the administrative committee. I called Brent. I needed a legal opinion. He was walking out the door to come do a presentation for Gene. At the same time, I called Carrie away from Gene's meeting because she needed to provide information. But everybody's flexible. Everybody moved. And I called Gene several times and got information handed to me exactly when I needed it. So there was no doubt we were on top of it, and we were that made the difference, a huge difference, especially during debate when people are scrambling for answers and especially with the misinformation because it gets thrown out there and all of a sudden it becomes reality. But can you refute it right away? And we refute it and we stop it right away. But not the last least is Ron Slonczak. He was with us in 2009 when we got bonding passed, and he did it again this year. And he's doggedly determined. He's a pain in the butt sometimes, but he gets the job done. And he did it again this year. And don't take this lightly. I mean, this NRD is the only NRD with bonding authority in the entire state of Nebraska, in the history of the entire state of Nebraska. But we not only did it once, we did it twice. And so we got it extended for another 5 years. So it's not an easy process. I mean, it took us, I don't know how many years in 2009 before we got it. And we had to work it for over a year and a half to get it passed again. And so a lot of people participated, and a lot of people backed the bill, and we got it through. And when you only get 9 votes as opposition, I mean, there's usually 12 to 15 that vote against everything. So when you only get 9 or 8 to oppose it, you know you've done a good job. So I want to thank everybody that assisted and all those folks too. I will send personal notes to all the senators, the governor, and everyone else that assisted, handwritten notes thanking them for their support, which they deserve tremendously. So if anybody has anything else to add, I'd like to hear it.
Make a couple comments. So as you guys know, I sent an email back on March, I think it was the 22nd of March, and we talked about that in our last meeting, and John had called me and explained to me the process, and I shared my thoughts with him, and I did everybody as well. And then on April 18th, that same email was read by Senator Erdman on the floor in order to try to torpedo LB 177, which when I originally interviewed sitting right there in that seat, I said that I was in support of it, and I never really wavered on that at all. So since that was read on the 18th of April by Senator Erdman, who was leading the opposition to that, LB 177, I sent an email. I spoke to Senator McDonald, who read my response to that, to try to clarify and make very clear what my points were on that email. So since that was read in a public setting in the legislature, I would like to ask whatever, if anybody in this room sent that, I got a couple questions. If, you know, somebody, whoever sent that, was it a director? Because it was only, I think, this group that was on that. If anybody would like to say who sent it, then I got a couple questions. Anyone?
Please.
Did you send
it? Absolutely.
Okay.
Just so we understand here, folks, my position is it's incredibly unimpressive that all these politicians went against the will of the people, and you weren't here today. The reason I and John and Ted were elected because we were against bonds. And that's where I'm sticking to.
Okay.
Information here, there is no confidentiality at the NRD.
As I learned, very clear.
There we go.
Understood.
I'll turn the floor back over to you.
Okay. If you got more points to make, I'm okay.
You were going to ask questions.
Okay, so I think it was clear that I made my position what I was on LB 177. If you're in opposition of it, that's democracy, baby. That's no problem.
There we go.
And I don't have hurt feelings or anything, but I wanted to make clear that it's not confidential, I guess. So when I talk to you guys or send an email, and by the way, I don't think I would have changed one syllable or letter in that email. And I hope if anybody's, when I'm running, I hope every voter in my district sees that, because I'm standing up for everybody that I'm representing in sub-district 7. So back to the point that was made, sending that down to the legislature and mischaracterizing what I said in that, I didn't care for that at all. And that's politics. I get it. But I learned in a short time sitting on this board that if I send an email out to you guys, then I guess everything's fair game. That's my comment.
John Reese.
Go right ahead, John.
Okay.
That's kind of cool.
I've got a little bit of input on the 177 bill. In my eyes, it there's a purpose for it, but the only thing, my only question was, the Corps had a study that they wanted to do a study just to see exactly where this was going to end up. And my only question is, if they were going to spend millions of dollars on a study, why wouldn't we wait till the study was done before we did anything?
The answer to that is bonding does not affect just the Papillion Creek watershed. Mm-hmm. And that's the study you're referring to. Unfortunately, the accuracy of your position, that Ted Japp also signed that letter.
Mm-hmm.
The clarification that needed, but obviously did not get clarified on the floor, was that we've got six counties, okay, that we can and do bond for. So for regardless of that study, the bonding is for the entire district, not just for the Papillion watershed.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that was taken by the nine senators as something that, oh, look at these two directors that don't want bonding authority. And it was unfortunate that that happened.
Right. Well, and it's not necessarily that we don't want bonding, but we just want it for the right reason.
Yeah.
And yes, that's something with that me personally, I've had people call me on, and yeah. I'm just representing my district, and I've had a lot of questions and things, a lot of questions as to how much of this money is going to go directly to the levees, to rebuild the levees. I don't know. I'm assuming most of it.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it during my report. But
that's where my standing is on it. I understand that there's things that need to be done. You know, I agree with that. But, you know, I think we need to, which in my opinion, sometimes we put the cart before the horse. And sometimes we get our tails bit. So, anyway, that was the only reasoning that I had.
Any other comments before we move on? Director Greenwald.
Oh, please, Dad.
Well,
Director Greenwald, I called on you.
Oh, certainly, sir. Back to you, Danny. Part of the, let's not forget the reason you had to write the letter in the first place. That's because you, Ted, John, and myself were cut out of the process.
Right.
And That's unethical. Never should have happened. It's a misinterpretation of law, or board policy, I should say.
Director Gap?
I'm not done, sir. I've not relinquished the floor. Also, when we look at these things, to sit there and have the people in 2016 say no to bonding means no to bonding, period.
I'm glad you brought that up, because here's a clarification of that. And that was used against the many people that wanted bonding. The fact is that vote was for to exceed our penny, and it failed. We still had the bonding authority. Now, you brought that up to the senators, some senators brought it up, you bring it up now. That's so misinformation that doesn't apply to us and our ability to finance what we have to finance. So I hope we don't hear any more of that.
One point. Who's got the money to pay for it?
The extra penny?
I don't care about any taxes. The state of Nebraska is hundreds of millions of dollars in debts. The nation is. Who? Surely, and it's not agriculture. We had that discussion just a few minutes ago. Who's got the money? How many times do you guys have to be told there's no money? Even the governor says that.
Director Jeb.
My comment is just we on the board represent our constituents. We don't work for the NRD. We represent the people who elected us to this office. And I can assure you that within my sub-district, the vast majority of the people who contacted me were not in favor of LB 177. Thus, I voted as I
did. Any other final comments before we move on? Director Bradley.
Thank you. I know there's some NRD members on this board members that was for LB 177, and there were some that were not. And, you know, just that one side victorious, and that, you know, we just leave it all on the debate floor. Go for it. Take it personally, like Andy said. I respect everybody's opinion and participation in democracy. Just leave it on the debate.
Moving on. That's all the legislative report you want to give, isn't it?
Thank you.
All right. 10, subcommittee report. Oh, I'm sorry. Item 9, public hearing on land acquisition. Call the hearing. Is it 7:25? 7:26? Call to order. Call the hearing. And John Rinker, hearing officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Call the hearing to order 7:26. The second agenda or third agenda item is a proof of publication of the hearing notice, which I have here as part of the packet. Agenda item 4 is explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Brent Meyer, Hush Blackwell.
Good evening, Directors. Brent Meyer with law firm Hush Blackwell. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio-Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the proposed land acquisition at Papio Dam Site 19 and the reason for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The owner of the property to be acquired has previously contacted the district regarding the potential acquisition and is a willing seller under applicable law. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person.
Thank you. Agenda item 5 is an identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is a proof of publication of the hearing notice in the Omaha World Herald, April 29th, 2019, and May 2nd, 2019. Exhibit 3 is a map of land acquisition area Tract 6. Exhibit 4 is a preliminary design map of Papio Dam Site 19 project. Agenda item 6, explanation of the purpose of the scope of the project. Lori Laster.
Good evening. The district is proposing Papio Dam Site 19, which is generally located at 192nd Street and Giles Road in Sarpy County, Nebraska. The purpose of the project is to provide public flood control and recreation for the Plain Creek watershed in the Omaha metro area of eastern Nebraska. For this project, it is necessary to acquire property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the regional flood control dam and reservoir. The district proposes to acquire fee simple Title II, and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across lands required for the project. The land rights on those properties are generally as shown in the map, which is Exhibit 4. The project design is preliminary at this time. As the plans are finalized, the entire extent of property needed for this project will be more clearly defined. The district is currently looking at approximately 16.7 acres of property for this project. The reservoir itself has a drainage area of 4.3 square miles. The normal pool is anticipated to be approximately 74 acres. This will be a public lake access, or public access lake with recreation elements. At this time, in-lake fisheries, a boat access area, a trail, and a picnic area are planned. On the map, you can see this is 192nd Street. This is Giles Road. The proposed dam would go right about here. We would have public access off of 192nd Street, a boat ramp, picnic shelter here, a trail all the way around the lake, and several in-lake fisheries are planned at this time.
Thank you. Agenda item 7, receive testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide any testimony or statement on this project? Lynette, you're signed up.
Okay. I'm actually trying to figure this whole thing out, so I may have some questions.
Okay.
I'm Lynette Roxburgh. I live at 8787 South 204th Street, which I didn't know until I got here is the shaded area here. My husband and I purchased the property in 2001. About 17 acres, as you guys have noticed. It's kind of an iconic house. I don't know if you're all familiar with it. It's the big yellow house. When you drive between Elkhorn and Gretna, you see a house with a barn and a little winding driveway. My husband and I raised our 5 kids there. We have horses, chickens, dogs, kind of the hub for all the family get-togethers. Little background on this. In 2017, we received a letter from the NRD regarding the proposed dam site. We were compliant with all the requests, you know, worked with, I think, OCR to do the soil tests and elevation surveys. We stayed in contact with Lori. She was very helpful. She told us what she knew. There's, you know, a lot more details involved in it than we understood, and so, you know, our questions are probably a little annoying, but, you know, we were just trying to get some answers. Let's see here. In March 2018, we were informed that our house was indeed impacted, and this is where I'm trying to kind of figure this out. I'm still stupid when it comes to looking at renderings. But
Laura, can you show her where she is with the laser pointer?
It's just the dotted line is the dam wall.
So this is the dam. Yeah. So that would be the dam.
Okay.
So the lake. Yeah, it's hard to see up here, but the lake on our right. Here, that could be it. So it goes all the way up.
So this is the final design?
It's about 60.
Oh, okay. So what I can tell, and again, I appreciate you guys letting me come to this. So our entire property will be impacted, so it won't be just where the house is or where the frontage land is, the whole 17 acres, the way I understand it. So, I mean, it's helpful to know that because we weren't sure. We were getting kind of a lot of, you know, you might just lose your barn, you might have lakefront property, you know, we didn't know. So when we found out in 2018 that it would be impacted, we moved forward. It was shortly after that I found out my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer that had metastasized to his bones. The cancer quickly spread, and he eventually lost all his mobility. And I think the house is about 8,000 square feet, and it's 3 levels. So we didn't have a bedroom or a bathroom or anything on the main level. So it was a hardship. So at that point, we thought, well, we'll sell this house. I work in real estate, and we'll, you know, go find a ranch somewhere. Well, I found out just doing some kind of private pocket listings that there's also actually a pretty big awareness out there in the public that this dam site's going through. And in order to get fair market value, you know, we'd have to disclose that. And you know, until you told them that, there was hobby farmers and horse ranchers and like that. They were real interested, I think, just because it's so close to Omaha, the proximity of the metro. So it was kind of frustrating because we felt like we weren't going to get fair market value. We were kind of held hostage in this house that he was unable to, you know, move around in. My husband passed away 2 months ago, so the urgency to find a one-level house is no longer an issue. I think the reason I'm here tonight to find out more about this, and I appreciate you guys letting me sit in on this, but it's also to, you know, express that I guess I'm overwhelmed a little bit with just the acreage and the size of the house and, you know, is this going to be completed in 2025? I heard somebody say sunset 2029. I just don't want to, I guess I just want to know what my options are. So I'm willing to discuss with you guys. And I want to thank you for allowing me to speak at this tonight and to negotiate in an expedient manner would be appreciated. And let me know if I'm willing to work with you guys. So.
John, any questions? Sorry about your husband.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Lynette, thank you, because when we've met several times.
Yeah.
And with Lori and others. And so when we come to the board and we say, hey, you know, these people are approaching us to buy, it's different, obviously. And thank you for coming and telling them personally and how it's impacted you. Because you're not the only one. We've got
I know that.
A number. But I mean, so, but it does. It's impacting what you can do with your home, what you can do with your future, because you had plans to move, I think, to Colorado and those types of things. And so, and we're here and we can't move, right? I mean, we can't move on some of these things.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important that you took the time to come, because a lot of times people just don't come and they just think it's just going to happen. But it's good to hear that, because whatever we say, it doesn't mean the same as not coming from you. So I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, there's just things like, you know, and we need a new roof and there's trees to cut down. So that's where I get like, do I go ahead and do that? You know, is it going to be 10 years? Is it going to be 3 years? So like I said, it's just helpful for me to hear this. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for coming.
Hey, is there anyone else in the audience, I would like to provide testimony or statements. A third and final time, anyone? Okay, exhibit.
Hello,
agenda.
There, John.
Hey, hello.
Someone wants to speak.
agenda item 8 is the reception of the exhibits, and we will call the hearing to adjourn at 7:36 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Item 10, subcommittee report from PPO, Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 10A, programs, projects, and operations subcommittee.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Be it resolved that the minutes of the May 7, 2019 meeting of the program, projects, and operations subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 10A1, amendment number 2 to JEO Consulting Group Professional Service Amendment for the independent external review of Missouri River R-613/R-616 levy accreditation. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed amendment number 2 to the professional service agreement with JEO Consulting Group, Inc. for the independent external peer review for the Missouri River R-613 and R-616 federal levy accreditation project in the amount of $131,090, making the total maximum not to exceed agreement amount $408,464, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. I so move.
Any comments from the public? That, Director Greenwald.
Is this the Marlin? Is this one yesterday you were talking about the 404 where the Army does? Corps of Engineers doesn't want it, and the Congress says they do want it. We're on the same page. Just to let everybody know, the Army Corps of Engineers is in charge. They're the military. They're in charge of Missouri River and the land around it. So when you do these projects, you say, hey, Congress, let me ask you a different question, Marlon. Are they giving us any money? Is Congress giving us any money on this? No. So we have the organization who ultimately is in charge of this, the Army Corps of Engineers, says, no, we don't need to do this. Congress, who's not giving us any money, not quite sure they're telling us to do it, but it makes no sense. Why would we worry about somebody that's not giving us any money? And when you look at it that way, this looks political because it makes no sense. The people in charge, ultimately, the Army says, no, we don't need it. It's $400,000. We don't need to spend it. Why? It looks political. I'm for Trump. He would look at something like this. My people in my district have had enough with taxes. They're overtaxed. This makes no sense. This is a political fail, because we don't have to do it. Point of order, sir. Put it in your...
No, you can't call point of order. But that statement was so off the wall, I had to laugh. Are you done?
Yes, sir.
You are?
Yes, sir.
Okay, any comments from directors? Roll call.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Pinsky.
Yes.
Peter.
Yeah.
Pete.
Yes.
Eglin.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
And
yes.
Item 10A2, Phase 9 of the engineering contract with Olson for professional services for Pigeon Jones Site 12A. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute an amendment to increase the maximum not to exceed amount of the professional service contract with Olson for the Pigeon Jones Site 15 project to $2,508,499, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. I so move.
Members of the public, staff, directors, representatives.
What was the amount before that?
The amount.
Isn't this to raise it to the not to exceed?
Well, it adds on to
it. Where was it at before?
Oh, it was whatever it was contract less. So, $64,000 less than it is in the not to exceed. So we just added this new contract on to the previous not to exceed number. So it's $64,000 different.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got it.
You just that's how you and you did, so you just continue to add that.
So you kind of backed into the
back into
the 64.
My math there
looks like that. That's
right.
Yeah.
But I saw it right there.
Okay.
Does that make sense, John?
Are you good?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments? Yeah, good.
And we are fairly certain this looks like the last phase that we have to come to for this. Is that correct?
We hope.
We ought to be able to.
A long time ago in this process, not to make promises that you can't keep because things are out of your control.
Yeah. But for looking down the future, I mean, we ought to be able to project what else is needed here. And if we don't, what would come up that all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, we got to have that done too, that we didn't think of before?
Be a good question for the board engineer.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless they get new guidance or something we're not aware of, but we're not anticipating.
But this looks like the last phase at this point.
To the best of our ability.
This is the way I'm looking at it, since I got good faith effort in Terry and John.
No, I'm not questioning Terry at all.
If something comes up that they discover, it's going to be a whole new thing. This is going to bed. It's going to go in the bottom file drawer, and it's going to be resting there. Is that fair to say, Terry?
Yes.
Okay, John?
Yes.
Okay, so.
All right.
Now, if something else comes up, that's a whole new process to put it in the budget, put it in the long range plans, and so on and so forth. That's kind of how we do things, right?
And is it possible we could wrap this one up, and if we need to start a new one, we could start a new one?
Exactly.
Yeah,
we need to. We're
going
to
build
a new one.
Okay,
we want to get this one done.
Exactly. I'd just like to see this one done.
Me too.
Point.
Yeah, it's not going to be like Super Bowl
8 or
65.
9 phases. There's a lot of phases.
All right. Any other comments? Roll call.
Yes.
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 Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Wilmore.
Yes.
Item 10A3, Southern Sarvey Watershed Partnership Interlocal Agreement. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed 5-year interlocal agreement for the continuation of the Southern Sarvey Watershed Partnership between the communities of Bellevue, Gretna, Papillion, Springfield, Sarvey County, and the Papio, Missouri River Natural Resources District, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
Any comments on the public?
Evening. Sean Malatz, 10404 North 132nd Street. I just one simple question. What type of projects will the Sarpy County Partnership anticipate doing? We all know the Papillion Creek one's building dams. I was just curious what the Sarpy County.
I don't think we've gotten that far yet, but we're anticipating a lot of erosion control, bank stabilization, things like that, because it's pretty degraded already.
Along
and it's probably
going to
get worse. So, yeah, along the creeks.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Any comment? Staff? Directors? I just want to add, when we, and we'll get down to item five, we're not going to address it particularly now, but when we created this partnership for Suffolk County, we had the template, so to speak, from what we learned from the Papillion Creek watershed, and I'm very happy that we're at this point that we've got how many cities on this particular one? Five, six?
Yeah.
And a county, and had we done that with the Papillion watershed as Omaha was expanding, you know, 20 years ago, we would have been, I think, much better off. But I'm very happy to see that this happens now, and we get all the folks involved, the stakeholders, the decision makers of these different cities and counties involved in from the beginning. You know, we all know that there's going to be sewers being built in Sarpy counties, but I think it's a great agreement. And with that, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the cities here. I mean, is like La Vista, or some are there other communities that we can throw into the hat to see if they'll come into this?
It's within their jurisdiction, so La Vista wouldn't have any jurisdiction within that watershed. So it's those that have some land or some stake in that watershed, and La Vista does not.
See, I thought their property ran south and north.
No, they're cut off at the ridgeline.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Roll call.
McCormick.
Yes.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Edwin.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Ronald.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Item number 10A4, Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership Professional Services Contract Amendment 2 with Fire Engineering. Recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to execute the proposed contract amendment with Fire Engineering to provide professional services for Phase 2 of the Southern Sarpy Watershed Management Plan in the amount of $410,108, making the total maximum not to exceed agreement amount $801,748, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any comments from the public? Director. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Okay. Kai.
Reinwald.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Shepherd.
Yes.
Item number 10A5, Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership Interlocal Agreement. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement for the continuation of the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership between the communities of Bellevue, Boys Town, Gretna, La Vista, Omaha, Papillion, Ralston, Sarpy County, and the Papillion, Missouri River Natural Resources District, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments?
Sean Malott, 10404 North 132nd Street. I respectfully request that this board not approve the execution of the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership Interlocal Agreement. This agreement contains specific language and requirements that will place tax burdens upon the taxpayers within this NRD for years to come. I'd like to address a few of the items within the agreement. I don't know if it's available to put on the screen, or if you have it in your packet from Tuesday's meeting. But I'd like to refer to some areas that I'd like to draw the board's attention to. on page 8 of agreement of the agreement, on section paragraph 6, there's a notation that the Papio NRD is the administrating agent for this partnership. And as such, it is given legal responsibility that should be a grave concern to the directors and the constituents you represent. The language specifically states that the Papio NRD will serve at the pleasure of the executive committee and perform duties assigned by the executive committee. At issue is the executive committee is comprised of unelected officials. I've included in the packet Exhibit 1 the list of those individuals who are the executive committees of the partnership. In addition, on page 8 of paragraph 1, the executive committee can direct this board to enter into contracts on behalf of the partnership. Thereby, it's implied that it's placing the contractual burden and payment onto the Papio NRD, not the partnership. On page 11 of the agreement, paragraph 8 addresses what's called as the partnership fund, and that is the dues that go in for the various individuals inside the partnership. According to the presentation on Tuesday, the dues are $369,000 for annual contributions, and that is on Exhibit 2 that I've included, the list of those members and the amount they contribute. A concern of this board should be that this agreement lacks written documentation as to the Papio NRD's monetary responsibility should any of these members withdraw or not pay their dues, thus reducing the total of the contributions. At issue is whether or not the taxpayers would be responsible for the shortfall. Particularly, I'd like to point to the fact that to date, according to the treasurer's report, through April 30th, only 20,000 of the dues have been collected during this fiscal year. And I've attached a copy of that information. On page 12 of the agreement, it discusses the watershed fees that was brought to everybody's attention during Tuesday's meeting. The watershed fees are different than the dues in the partnership funds. So there are two different issues. They're the dollars that separate the money to use to pay for the 16 proposed dams that are left. At least my understanding, there are 16 dams and water quality basins. And according to the presentation, the total cost is $244 million. And then according to the second paragraph in B, by signing the agreement, the partnership, vis-a-vis the Papio NRD as the administrating agent, agrees to implement the watershed plan, which are the structures that are on the exhibit E, which I've included. The exhibit E is the information that was given as part of the agreement, and I believe it's the maps that is in Exhibit E. So by signing the partnership agreement, it's my understanding that this board's agreeing to build the dams and fulfill the partnership agreement. So this would commit this board to constructing the 16 dams. And should the NRD not construct the dams, the question is, are they in violation of the agreement? I'm sure the rebuttal will be that there's a disagreement to this, but I've witnessed in the past that this agreement has been used as a commitment by this board to build dams. The section of the agreement also addresses the collection of the watershed fees, which in theory are the developers' contribution for one-third of the cost of the dams. And the lakes, which is their contribution for receiving the lakes and the recreational areas. Now, the revenues are collected through lot fees and by the different jurisdictions, but the fees cannot be relied on because what I've included in this packet is I labeled it as Exhibit 4, and on the second page of Exhibit 4 was the original proposed fees that were expected to be received by the NRD as part of the watershed fees that were to be collected. And what the plan was that the NRD should have received over $38 million in fees through year 2020. And to date, the NRD has received $8 million, which is a pretty drastic difference in what you're collecting for the developer's share of these fees. Now, I think that if you feel that this document's important and that you want to sign it, I think something needs to be addressed about these fees because they're short. And what I'd like to also point out on these fees, if you go to the Exhibit 5, there is an outline of what these fees are to be for fiscal year 2020 through 2024. What I've put in red is what was agreed upon to be the fees according to the 2009 plan. 10 years forward, the fees are actually less than what was used in the projection for the developers to pay a third of the fees. So what's happening, in my mind, is the taxpayers are paying more up front of all these costs, and the developers are getting the benefit of lakes to build houses around, which, of course, causes more runoff, which creates the need to build more water quality dams or detention dams. So how can the current projected watershed fee revenue numbers that are presented be trusted? Why should developers pay less and taxpayers pay more according to this agreement? And why should developers receive interest-free loans on the backs of taxpayers? This group, yes, they are, Chairman Thompson, because the taxpayers are footing the bill for these. Through our taxes, the construction costs are being paid by my taxes. And to date, the developers have paid $8 million of the agreed-upon schedule that I was at the meeting. It was down at the Scott Center where we were told the developers are going to pay a third of these dams. They are not, because the fees are not being collected quick enough to pay for it, and they aren't even paying the fees that was agreed upon in the 2009 document. Costs have gone up, but their fees are going down. That's wrong. That's not how we should be doing business as someone protecting our tax dollars. I know this board understands that I'm adamantly opposed to dams. I do believe there are less intrusive ways to accomplish the same goals. But this board should look beyond my opposition and recognize the pitfalls of this agreement and reject it. And I would like to point out that on page 17 of this agreement, it is not required to be signed till July of 2019. You have time to kick it back to the partnership and say, this fee schedule is short, or I don't agree with what we're doing here, because taxpayers are footing the bill, not the developers who have agreed to foot a third of the bill. With that, I respectfully request that this document not be approved this evening due to these reasons. And I'm more than willing to answer any questions.
This is a lot of information all at once here, but this can all be backed up. This is all.
I have the documents that you have are HDR documents, and things I've gathered as my time following this issue.
So basically then, according to the calculations, this looks like we're going to end up with a big shortfall?
Maybe not by 2050, but it's shorter fall than what was projected in 2009. That's what it appears to me, and I'm sure I'd be glad to hear different numbers. As a CPA, I look at the numbers and I understand the numbers.
Well, I think this needs to be followed up on. I think it's important enough. I mean, there's real numbers here when I'm looking at.
John, have you got any more comments from Trump? We're going to get to director's discussion.
I'm good.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Do you have a question for Sean?
we're talking about shortfalls. $8 million in the bank. You said 38 is the real number?
No. What I said was, according to the presentation on Tuesday, $8.2 million have been collected in fees from developers. However, what we were told at a public meeting in April of 2009, when this proposal was presented, that developers should have paid $38 million in fee through fiscal year 2020.
So right now, it's $3 million.
The difference. Correct.
Thank you.
I had a question.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned you, we provide an interest-free loans to developers. Can you clarify that statement?
Yes. When my
a surprise tax, to me.
When my taxpayers are paying for projects that they're supposed to contribute a third to, and you're paying interest on bonds to fund those projects, we are, as taxpayers, paying interest on those construction costs as well as
you going said forward. Interest-free loans.
Well, how is it not? What would it be if developers are getting...
Can you clarify? We provided an interest-free loan to developer. That statement just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I can reference a interest-free loan that has occurred, but that is not what I am discussing here. What I'm discussing here is they are not contributing their fair share. They're still reaping the benefits of having legs and putting money in their banks, but they aren't contributing here. That is my opinion of what's happening.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So you mentioned that you're against dams, and you think there is less intrusive ways to stop all the water.
Yes, I do.
The development's coming, whether we like it or not, the new homes, the new driveways, everything that comes with that. How do you suggest we slow down this water?
It is the way that developments are designed. There are different ways to design them. Other cities are requiring green spaces in developments. For example, they're not allowing building along the waterways and along the creeks. They're requiring the soccer fields and other such items being put in those areas of the developments rather than the houses. They are putting in retention dams or structures. They're putting in bioswales. There are a plethora of different types of low-impact development measures that control water runoff.
Have you priced that? What does that cost compared to what we do now?
There's been no study when we're doing millions and dollars of studies through HDR, there's not even a look at those measures. I haven't priced them because I can't afford $1 million study by HDR to show that there are. I would ask this board to perhaps do that. Perhaps that's what the Corps of Engineers is trying to accomplish if there's other alternatives.
Okay.
Other cities are taking dams out. They are not putting them in.
Where's that at?
All over the United States. Maryland is a huge area that uses low-impact developments and takes out dams.
But our topography is nothing like Maryland.
I agree.
So that's not really a good example. Anybody around in Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota?
Council Bluffs was one of the, I think, Amanda, you were involved in some pretty intensive water runoff events that didn't include dams in the Council Bluff area.
Just trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other comments? Staff.
Okay, just to give some clarity on the interlocal agreement, as far as the NRD being the administrative body, the NRDs are unique, obviously, because our boundaries incorporate many jurisdictions. So it makes sense for the NRD to be the entity that is the administrative agent because we encompass all of the partners. There's no we have all of them in our boundary. So it makes sense for us to do that. Water does not stop at the city line, county line. It knows no boundary except for the watershed that it's in. So we encompass this entire watershed. So it makes perfect sense that the NRD system in this state takes that lead and do that. Now, everybody contributes part of the partnership. This thing's been in existence for 10 years now, and it's had annual updates every 3 years, every 5 years, and no one's missed their dues. No one's has decided to leave or threatened to leave. And in fact, if someone did withdraw from the partnership, then you basically remove their dues, what they paid in, and then you adjust your budget accordingly. So we're not going to sign a contract or do something that we don't have the money to do. Now, as far as the developer fees, they're on a 2.5% increase each year per inflation. Lori, you may be able to go into more detail on the numbers. But so we hire an economist, HDR, and they have an economist. Now, this person obviously has been trained, educated, has the knowledge, has the experience to do these projections for us. I cannot do that. No one on my staff can do that. He is a trained economist that looked at the fees, that looked at the undeveloped lots so far, and they've projected that we will collect these fees. No argument that they not have been as many as we thought they would be, or they're not at the level we thought they would be. But the deal was 2/3, 1/3, and as far as the economist's projection, the professional who does that, his projections are that you will collect those fees, because we will collect these fees until we collect them, or until we get to that 1/3 level. So this is reviewed every 5 years, and we have a 5-year implementation schedule. This board has the ability, we've done it in the past, this board has the ability to vote something down that the partnership brings to you. In fact, we did ZB2 ahead of schedule. And the partnership, that was never in the schedule to do that. So this board has the autonomy to do that. It's not forced to do anything it doesn't do. It has to do. So the basis of a partnership is each party comes together cooperatively and you work on an agreement. Now this has to go to all their city councils and their mayors and their boards for approval. And so this has been talked about and worked on for longer than 10 years, but 10 years now, we just can't unilaterally go to the cities and say, we're going to raise these fees. Well, no, you're not, because it's not going to go through our city council. And so those staff members who work with their mayors and their boards come to the partnership as representatives and saying, this is what we will agree to. This is a partnership, right? We don't get to dictate. And neither do they. And so we all worked this out together. So this has been going on for a decade now. It's worked. Look at the last event we had. This is almost zero flooding in Omaha. Why? I can tell you. Partnerships, reservoirs, levees, setbacks, all of those things that we do. That's why there wasn't damages, because of things like this. So this isn't something that we just throw together every 5 years to bring to this board and say, you know, this has been ironed out, this has been worked through, this has had to be agreed through the partnership. And so this isn't just something that we can just unilaterally dictate to everybody else. That violates the very nature of a partnership. And so this is what's before you today. Now, if we delay this to July, it's not going to change. It will not change because the partners have already expressed everything in this agreement that they will agree to or not agree to. And so it won't change. It'll be the exact document you're seeing here. And what we've seen about if you delay things, perfect example, $30 million project would have saved the Air Force $500 million because of delay. So I would suggest that we move forward because this thing is working. It's working well. And we get moving. And you've heard from Lynette. I mean, we are impacting people because we can't either buy their property or we can't move on what they want to do. And so you have this person who's one of many that comes to you and says, hey, you're impacting me. You're negatively impacting me. You have to do something. So we ignore her, and that's up to you guys. But, Lori, if there's anything you want to add as far as the fees, and, I mean, if you want to clarify any of that, it's up to you. Or Marlon?
Both of you.
I could make a couple of statements.
If you wouldn't mind, go back to day one when these fees were negotiated by this. Don't bore you.
Bill, can you put the fees up there you had just a minute ago? I'd like to say that Ms. Blatt is incorrect. she said that the fees that were charged in 2009, well, I think she said that were purported at this meeting that HDR held at UNO, that the fees were less than what are charged today. Is that what you heard? The fees were less than?
Here's the report. Here's what was on the report.
It was to be charged. It was. This was a draft report. I don't know for sure where this is from.
From your 2009 report.
But the fees per lot in this estimate is history. What was adopted and has been charged in 2009. If you look at the top line, single family, $750 a lot. Today, if you adopt this in July, it will start at $931. That is not less than what was being collected in people, period. These fees have gone up every, they were the same for 5 years, but they've gone up every year since. The last 5 years, and they're projected to go up every year. Coming up and saying these fees are less than what, that we're charging less than what we did before, is wrong.
I never said that, Mark.
Well, that's what it sounded like to me, and I think others maybe they heard the same thing. What was in a report and what is history? What was in the interlocal agreement, and Ms. Malotz has been here and heard all of them, knows that these fees have gone up and will go up. The economy studies, the economic study that John mentioned, some of that's black box to me. I'm not an economist, but the numbers that we've seen and gone through have held ground. Another thing that was mentioned is that the interlocal agreement says we're going to build these 16 dams. That's not what it says. That is wrong. What it says is the NRD is committing to is to pursue building 3 in the next 5 years. WP1, WP2, and WP4. Not 16 dams. That was a wrong statement. Your question, Director Sapinski, was a good one about what are you going to do if you don't do these. The partnership studied that. HDR studied it. Ms. Balot sat in this room and heard the reports and saw the meeting. And we studied what's called low-impact development. It was studied in great detail, doing development differently to hold water on development. That was looked at as an alternative very strongly versus looking at doing these regional reservoirs. And the partnership, along with the cities that represent them and you as an NRD board, adopted the plan to say, we don't believe that's the best course of action. We believe the best course of action is pursuing these regional reservoirs. There were 8 reasons listed for that. Very specific reasons for that. 2 of them that I can recall right off the top. One was because if you put all this low-impact development in, that will not count toward reducing flood flows that are mapped on flood insurance maps. It would not reduce floodplains and take people out of floodplains so they wouldn't have to buy insurance. If you put in these reservoirs, that is computed by FEMA and accepted as an acceptable flood control project that reduces floodplain zones and reduces properties that have to pay flood insurance. And that was a major thing that the partners looked at and said, we think that is important to our constituents. The second thing was we build and looked at, I think it was somewhere around 1,500 little ponds around on developments in order to do this low-impact development. Who's going to maintain them? Who's going to take care of them? And that's the reason FEMA said, they're not maintained. You can't count on them. That it can be there today and torn out tomorrow. These reservoirs are maintained by public entities and remain. But the other thing you get is a public amenity. And that's another thing the partners said. We think our constituents like to see and want to have public amenity. Not what the developers want, what the constituents want. Is amenities like this, parks they can go visit, trails they can walk around, and those sort of things. Those are two of the eight that were listed as reasons for doing these regional sites that we are in this plan. I don't know. I can't remember all the things that were listed. I didn't have the list. But I just heard a lot of inconsistencies there that I think is throwing things out and seeing what sticks.
Lori, anything to add?
Just on the economic study, we've been working on this for a year now. It's not something that we throw together in Excel spreadsheet. I mean, it is an Excel spreadsheet, but it's very complicated. It has a lot of data. We work with MAPA. We work with all of the planning departments in all of the member communities to get a lot of data. And the projection of where we were supposed to be on watershed fees right now was about $12 million. And so, yes, we are a little bit short than what we thought. But when we adopted this, we were in, you know, the middle of an economic crisis. And so there were a couple of years where we did not get those funds in. So we're not $30 million short. We're $4 million short. It was never intended to cover a third as we go along. Over the long run, it will cover a third. We still believe that can happen. Looking at all of this data from everybody else, this is the same data that Omaha uses to price their sewer connection fees. And they don't have a problem. They usually meet their goals. So this data, we are very confident that over the 50-year period, we will collect the fees that we intended to collect. But yes, if we are behind, it's behind by $4 million, not 30.
And it's always been anticipated that the fees would have to catch up because we started. And so as you begin that process, it's development, you know, building driven, and we knew we were going to start slow and that they would have to catch up, and that's what it very clearly shows.
Director Sapinski, you brought up, you know, you asked that question on low impact development. In fact, Washington County and Douglas County, in their 9% zoning jurisdiction, what they have left, adopted the maximum low impact development. And to my knowledge, and Lori, correct me, or Marlon, correct me, not a single structure has been built. Not a single development has the maximum low impact on that development.
I'm not aware of it.
Okay. And so you can see it would take literally 50 to 100 years to get all of those 1,500, whatever structures were, to get the same impact as the reservoirs. And we've built how many reservoirs in that time? Six?
We put in six now.
I'd like to hear some director's input.
Can you what?
I'd like to hear some director's input, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I'm not done with staff yet. Unless you're done, Lori. Any other staff comment? Okay, no director comment? Dr. Jeff.
Okay, so does agreeing to the partnership commitment commit us to all the elements in that packet stuff? In other words, are we permanently committed to that for the next 5 years then? Whatever's in that partnership agreement, are we now committed to that and there's no changing, no going back?
It does say in there that the, and I don't remember the wording exactly, but based upon the NRD's financial capability. In other words, you're the bottom line. If you don't have enough money to build one structure, you don't build one structure. You make the final decision.
Because the vast majority of the money is coming from the NRD. You got all these partners, but they're not putting up anything. We're putting up all the money. So where does the money, if we don't have the money?
Their constituents are through
property
through tax. Yeah. And that was a discussion too. Should all the communities contribute? Well, the NRD pretty much 95% of our funds come from this area.
Right, we're the umbrella organization that covers it.
But the NRD has the final say. in the agreement.
And in this particular agreement, like you said, it's only WP1, WP2, and WP4 are the only structures that we're committing to, or are we committing
it's
to?
It's the implementation plan, which is one of the maps, not the big map. One of the maps shows those four sites, and those are the ones that the partnership has recommended, so the partners are agreeing with. And again, you need a plan to go with, and that's what it looks like should be affordable and can be done and achievable. But again, the NRD has the final determination.
And do we know what the approximate financial commitment is on WP 1, 2, and 4 for this time frame?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was it? I don't have it in front of me.
So the total for those three structures is $35.1 million. But if you recall, we have water sustainability funds and NRCS funds on WP1, so I don't know what the final NRD cost is on that. I mean,
just for WP1.
Yeah, just for one. So I guess I'm asking for the million. All three of 25 million.
Yeah.
And this has been carefully thought out that we can afford this?
That's what the evaluation showed
the economic.
Based on our
so
the current projection.
That does assume that we issue a bond.
Which we have the authority to do.
Yes.
Yeah, if we don't issue the bond, the one structure may not, WP4 may be just outside of the 5.
And that's okay, according we're not committing
to we don't have to be done.
So it's subject to available funding.
Yeah, subject to funding.
Correct.
So, yeah.
It's all subject.
Subject to funding.
Okay. If somebody else has a question, I've got another one later on.
Director Bradley.
Just two things. And one, I guess, I don't want to hammer this point too much, but on the executive committee, I just make sure that, again, the Papio Missouri NRD board has sort of veto power on these proposals.
They can't tell us. I mean, they can't spend any money.
Okay.
So we have the, we
both. Brent, did you want to clarify?
The last paragraph. That
okay, thank you. And the second thing was.
It's an agreement.
You put in writing.
Could you not interrupt Ray Bradley, please?
Thank you, Director Grunwald. And I think the public record it might already be writing, but. The second thing was 2009. I might have been at that same meeting in Sean Malotz's bringing up, and I was wondering about not to make this meeting too long or this item. We were starting into a Great Recession at that time, and there may have been some economic proposals of saying, yes, we would collect X amount of fees. Then the Great Recession hit. My brother-in-law was building all kinds of houses. He had 80 people working under, and then he was down to about 10. So it slowed down. Mm-hmm. Now the economy has started to pick back up again as we were pulling out of the Great Recession. And I just wondered if that might have been a lag at some of the fees.
It was.
Because they might have said something, and I'm sure she heard it right. But then the Great Recession happened. So that might, I'm not saying that is the thing, but that had to be a contributing.
So, thank you. Dr. Teaser, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. I've been on this board for 28 years or whatever the hell it's been. Mm-hmm. Seems like forever. But during that whole time, I kept hearing this low impact development. It's the coming thing. Let's put a bunch of little ponds around and catch water. So they have a lot of green spaces. And I sat and it made some sense to me. And then I really started looking at it. And I started talking to the people that know. I talked to the Mike Sotax and a lot from GLO, the Mike Seeslog from the HDR, and all these. I went to all these engineers that work on flood control at NERD, at convention, at our functions. And I sat down with them and said, will it work? Will this low impact work? And they came back and said, look, Rich, it's great if you got a half inch and an inch. But boy, you start talking 3, 4, 5, 6 inches, you're up a shit creek. Excuse me. But
there is a creek named that.
It's just not going to function the way and give the protection to the people. You're going to have problems, and you're going to have property damage. And I sat and I listened to this, and at that time, I attended the UNO thing too, and at that time we heard about West Des Moines, West Des Moines, Iowa. There is the city that's got all these little ponds in every parking lot of the development, all over. They're all great. I actually called out, talked to the mayor or the guy that's in charge of all these. Oh, it's great, great. I'm going back 10, 15 years, I don't know. But anyway, so I go through Des Moines, West Des Moines frequently on the way up to wherever I was going for whatever reason. And I stopped by and started looking at some of these ponds. And Christ, excuse me, Lord, they have phragmites growing in them. There's these plastic bags that everybody's bitching about. There's paper. Yeah, they look like hell. And so and some of them are great. Don't get me wrong, not everyone. But there are a lot of them that really look like hell. And I don't want to see that in Omaha. And I don't think it's providing the amenities that the people want. Okay, I'm a hunter and fisherman. I got guys call me all the time. Teaser, where do you get the best fishing rate going? And I'm hearing all sorts of great things about our lakes down in Sargent County. People want that. They don't want this other type. And if we can foster this and go with this idea, this presentation, I'm all in favor of it. I think it's sound and. It's good business for the NRD. It's the right way to go.
Any other comments?
Excuse me. I appreciate what everybody's saying, but maybe I'm wrong with this. Maybe I misunderstood Ms. Malas, what she was saying here, but I think the problem was the fees can go up or down or whatever you want them to do. If we're not clunked to them, we're still a toast. And I think that's what she's trying to say, is that if the fees aren't collected, there's no money. So the way I see this is we need to get this balanced out before we would want to even think about building anything or collecting it or doing anything. Let's get this balanced out of what everybody's already committed. There's a lot of money here. A lot of millions of dollars. And I wouldn't want to put my name on that.
I had one.
Yes, Director Jeff.
Has there been any discussion to held amongst the partners or just the NRD itself about increasing the fees somewhat? Or is this set in stone? I mean, to me, these are the people that are benefiting, and it seems like an extra 1% or 2% of their lot cost is not going to bankrupt them and cause them not to to build their house. But it would certainly go a long way toward helping to pay for some of this stuff on an ongoing basis. We may not need to use the bonding as much as we typically would because we're collecting more in fees from the people who are directly benefiting from these dams and so forth. And it would be my thought that I don't see any issue with increasing them by 25%. I don't see why that would be a hardship on anybody, and it would help everybody.
So we did look at that, and we looked at a 5% increase, and we ended up flip-flopping, almost collecting 2/3 of the fees, so the NRD would only pay 1/3, and that's not going to pass through our member communities.
No.
This is not what was agreed to with the development community back in 2009. And nobody would support it. Again, this is not meant to be like an as-we-go thing. It's a long-term plan, and hence using the bonds so that we can pay for these projects up front. They're lower cost. We've dodged the inflation that way, but then we're getting paid back over the long
term. No, I understand that fully. I just thought perhaps that it's a little bit light. I'm not looking for the people who are buying the lots to be paying 2/3 of the cost of this. They're paying totally a third. I just thought they could move from 33% up to 38% to 40% of the cost, perhaps over the long term.
Even that 5% bump in the rate in the rates over that long term, you know, at some point we would have to then adjust it back down. And that's just not how we.
Why would you have to adjust it back down?
Because if we adjust the rates by 5% and then continue to adjust it for inflation.
I'm talking about adjusting it 25%, like now.
It wouldn't pass.
We would not have an agreement.
No. And remember, this is just a five-year implementation agreement. So these things will all be discussed again. Now, it may be in 5 years when we can bump them up a little bit more than the 2.5. But the marching orders from the committee members on the partnership, from their councils and mayors, is we're going to keep the 2.5% fees. That's what we can absorb as a community, because they all want to continue to make sure they continue to grow. And they think there's a tipping point there. If you go too much, then all of a sudden you start stifling that, and they're not going to agree to that.
I mean, I overall agree with the partnership. I just think these fees are too light. That's it. I mean, I can agree to the rest of it. I just think that they should be paying more, because we have the full financial burden of doing this whole thing. Of course, there are people who are taxpayers too, so they're paying in that regard. But
right. The
people who are directly benefiting, I don't see an issue with them paying a little bit more.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify that statement. They're not the ones directly benefiting. Look downstream.
Well, certainly, but if they've got a lake and a trail around it and a bike paths, they are benefiting.
There's a small fraction. What happens when these dams are built and these lakes, flood control structures, is the floodplain shrinks. Those people downstream, they save millions of dollars on their flood insurance that they no longer have to pay. So it's not the first time I've heard tonight that they're the only ones benefiting. That's just not the case.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand.
And if you want fees raised because they should pay more, I'm sorry, there's 10 entities that are getting feedback from their constituents, so to speak, developers, sure, who have to pay the fees, who ultimately the homeowner pays it when they buy the lot. So, you know, we're developers, and no one but a pass-through, in a sense.
Nobody's happy about paying extra fees, no matter what.
It's a benefit is for the entire district.
Right.
Kevin Spinski?
About the fees, if I could. Mm-hmm. Believe me, and Lori and Amanda can believe this, I said, we got to raise these things. And we had this discussion a number of times. And the thing is, they showed me the numbers, and there just isn't any justification for it. It just isn't there. I can't make an argument to do it. I just can't, because to keep with the 1/3, 2/3 agreement that we have. I'm sorry.
All right. I think you and Ted kind of answered my question, but it's like we're trying to fee the developers for all the benefits that they get. The ultimate payer of the fee is whoever buys the lot. They have to market the lots, and these fees are in there. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Just a point of information. Can I make a motion to table for 30 days at any time? Motion, Mr. Chairman, to table this discussion for 30 days.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call on table.
Who seconded?
Are you asking motion to table for meeting?
30 days. What? It's going to be after
meeting. I don't know.
It's more than 30, isn't it?
Yeah. What?
It's 30.
Sometimes it is.
It's like June 11th, next board meeting, isn't it?
June 13th.
Okay. Thanks,
Terry. That's it. We're on the same page.
Roll call.
No.
Please.
Yes.
Bagley.
No.
Bradley.
No.
Conley.
No.
Feinwald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Harvey.
No.
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 discussion. So you have to.
So ultimately, the other two thirds will be paid by the lot owners over time
with their taxes,
with their tax levy,
and everybody. Yeah.
And so their tax levy will ultimately pay the entire burden.
Yes.
Yeah.
As well as those receiving.
And we won't spend more money than we can budget for.
Right.
So we won't spend more than we have, or the city and local tax levies will collect for these improvements.
Right.
So the initial developer fees are collected as the lots are developed. And as Director Stavinsky clearly stated, development's coming. And if we're not prepared, you're going to have loss of property and another downstream, you've increased the property value, so you've raised that available tax base, and that's what development does for communities, is it allows them to have these amenities and these protections. And I think ultimately it will be paid through, without raising taxes, but just through the, as developments come, through the fees, and then the rest is collected over time with the tax levy.
Yeah. And we can't spend more money than than what we can can have.
And agreement as funds are available. Right. So we won't.
Right. That's a caveat.
So
sure.
That's why I'm in favor of this.
Yeah. Director Peter?
I call the question.
Yeah. Question been called. Let's vote on ending debate.
No.
Eglin.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Bunwell.
No.
Yeah.
No.
McCormick.
Yes. Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes. Roll call on the original motion.
Eglin.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Bunwell.
No.
Yeah.
No.
McCormick.
Yes.
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 Please.
No. Yes. What else you got left there, Rick Conley?
10A6. Just here. 10A6. Dakota County Rural Water System Rate Increase. Recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to set a new increased rate schedule effective July 1, 2019 for the Dakota County Rural Water System, and that the district's policy manual, Appendix H- Rural Water Supply System, be updated to incorporate the new rate schedule. And I so move.
Any comments from the public? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Believe it or not, the first time ever, I'll actually agree with it. Yes.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
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 Yes. 10A7, FY 2020 equipment requirements. Recommendation that the proposed FY 2020 equipment requirements be approved as presented, subject to funding in the FY 2020 budget. And I so move.
Any comments from the public? Staff. Records. Records. Head down. You raised your hand, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I saw it.
My a couple of questions. One was regarding, again, the boardroom upgrades. Is this something that we can work with now, or is this something we work with later, or just what, if we were
to modify it somewhat? You can do whatever you want. You can make a motion to eliminate things, or you can subject it to the budget discussion. And, again, the board modifications were simply a proposal for the board, say what would you like to do. If you don't do anything, we're fine. Mm-hmm. If you do a few things, great.
Well, I guess I would just like to open up a brief discussion with the other board directors and see what their thoughts on this is, because I thought 37. Bill, I appreciate you're going to do this work, and I thank you very much. It seems a little bit high just based on all the other wants and needs out there that we're going to spend $37,000 basically on this room. And I think we can get by for less if almost for nothing. There may be some things we do need, definitely, and that's why I'd like to open some discussion amongst the other directors about this.
Okay. If I might clarify, we all got this breakdown
The boardroom upgrades for that 37 to 86. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I
emailed
it to everyone.
12 items.
Yeah.
Email?
It's in there.
Tim's saying, I got it.
I didn't get it.
I didn't read it.
No, I didn't get it.
You didn't get it. Worth it. Anyways, if you don't mind, I'll. Lobby monitor, 70-inch mounted above the overflow door, $1,456. Director monitor, 50-inch on movable cart, somewhere in here. Is that correct? Instead of a table, $825. Video camera, $4,813. Lobby signage system, $4,427. Video switcher equipment, $7,207.
Can you show that on the screen?
No, I don't think we have it on the mounting hardware and cabling, $1,560. Video routing hardware, $1,035. Streaming video processor, $2,066. Speakers, $270. Installation services, $7,590. Projector and screen replacement. Projectors, $2,555. Screen, $3,335. Hardware, $139. That's a lot of money. Those are the particular line items that you brought up. Yes, Mr. Director Teaser.
I'd like to cut the video camera for the recording and streaming at $4,800. And the video routing hardware, I'm assuming that will go along with that. My question is,
the video routing hardware needed for.
Okay, and.
Can I ask for clarification? Of that list that you have, is there anything you want? Or you would be happy with?
Not a hell of a lot.
Well, and Ted, maybe you can. If I know where he's going with it, I think.
You know where he's going? Okay, well, where are you going with it?
Cut it.
Everything?
Well, I will say I believe we do need some new microphones that are necessary to so people can listen to podcast or whatever kind of cast thing you have. And other than that, hey, I can look up there and I got a bad neck.
There you go, Mark.
I can't. What the heck's going on?
You know what? It's called exercise.
You want to switch it?
Okay. Again, I'm working on your amendment here.
Can Bill, can you tell me what the microphones that you feel are necessary and excluding the video equipment?
Well, how this list came about is correct. General Manager will be correct. I'd like to do some upgrades and work. This is a list of what we can do. And he said, great, do it. So that was the list I took to our vendors. Said, this is what we want to do. What will it cost?
Do it meaning get bids, not do it. But get bids for presentation.
So if we stream, for example, which I'm not thrilled about, I can't wear my camouflage shirt anymore because that won't look that won't look good. So
So, Bill, these microphones here, where are these listed?
Those are actually being done there. We have a lot of stuff that I planned out.
So that these are not on the list.
They're not on the list because they're already.
Okay. So Director Cheeser's comment about this projector, is that what you want to replace?
No, the microphones.
That's already being done.
That's already been done. So your amendment is delete it all.
I can live with this projector. And the screen, I see. I don't know about anybody else.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
So cut it off. No, I'm clarifying your motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Eliminate 37 to 86.
This is all going down to the preliminary process.
All right. So there's a motion on the floor, and I've heard a second.
Discussion on the motion.
We're trying to get down.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had, excuse me, gentlemen, on the streaming ability, with what the current technology we have, can we stream live our meetings from this in now?
We have no video.
Because now they, you know, ability to do it at the state legislature, city council of Omaha, so forth. There may be other constituents in other parts of our district that may want to watch the proceedings of this meeting. This is sort of putting us, to me, propelling us in the 21st century. And I may be the you know, minority on this issue, but I'm for all this new equipment myself.
Director, did you ever raise your hand?
Yeah, I did. I was so first day. I didn't bring my iPad, otherwise I could have pulled it right up. Yeah, no, that's okay. When I looked at that this afternoon, thinking at OPPD they did an upgrade like this, and I believe MUD did. I think it's a good thing because, as Director Bradley was saying, the streaming's good, and you know, this equipment, if you can upgrade it here, I know I got old eyes, I'm struggling even looking at that, that's why I had to go cheap, but I think it's good for the public, and also if they're doing the streaming, I don't have any problem with the cost of that. That's my
comment. If you broke just the video streaming out, what would that run?
I'm sorry?
If you just broke what Director Brad, you're talking the video streaming component here? And that's everything wired?
That's a compromise.
The five, the video camera, and what else would you need?
For this video streaming, I'm not an audiovisual guy.
Discussion on the amendment.
Director.
Chairman.
Director McCormick.
So do we have the capability of podcasting live, or is it always just taped?
It's just taped.
And would that be a possibility that would be more economical?
Well, I mean, you can do video streaming.
Well, no, I meant instead of video streaming, you just stream the audio. I know we're all good looking, but really what we say is all that matters here.
I haven't ever discussed it.
It's probably much simpler, I guess, in my estimation.
How about motion to delay?
Can you raise your hand?
We have a motion in a second already, I believe.
Yeah, we do.
Sorry.
Director Fred, did you have
Well, it's kind of hard to negotiate this at this meeting, to be quite honest with you. And I think since this is all subject to funding, it'll come up during the budget cycle. We have time to evaluate what seems to be a consensus among everybody in terms of what should move forward. I just don't think we ought to be trying to do it here in the meeting, to be quite honest with you. Some like this, some don't like this, some want this, some don't want this.
One last comment. John Weiss. John Weiss has hand.
Can we get another list of what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a Cadillac of what everybody wants. Can we get another list of what do we need? What do we absolutely need and put it down instead of all?
What you need.
Otherwise, we're going to sit here and talk about this forever.
What you need depends on what you want. If some people want video, so you got to have these things. Some people don't want video, so you don't need these things. I mean, we literally could get rid of everything, or you could say we want to monitor. We're going to have 11 different opinions or 10, who's ever here.
What would happen if we did nothing?
We're same. Just keep going.
Wake up and say
the same
thing. You don't have to put makeup on.
Yep.
Director Teeter, you had another comment.
I forgot it.
One last final comment before we vote on the amendment.
You'll have to repeat the amendment and the motion.
What now?
Yeah.
The amendment.
What's the amendment?
We're going to vote on the amendment.
What is the amendment?
To eliminate the 37,206, all these equipment items.
It's just 37,000.
Just eliminate all of it?
Yeah.
37,000.
I second that.
That can be brought back, staff can come back and bring in some other figures at a later date. My thought would be to kill it now and then let them come back and bring.
Which is kind of what I was going to say. This is luxury, and I don't think we're in a position of creating a video situation that I don't know if anyone wants it, if anyone called it. Yes, other entities are doing it with MUD or PPD and so on, but we don't get paid that much, and we're low-key, and I'm okay with scratching this and coming back for items that we need. So let's vote on the amendment.
When did the upgrade
roll call?
6 years ago.
This is the scratch everything. Aye.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I said aye. That's the amendment. We're voting on the amendment.
So yes means what?
Yes means
scratching the
scratching them all.
Yes. That's what the one doesn't
mean. Yeah, you called. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Now you got me all screwed up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Weed.
Yes.
Bradley.
No.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, that completes my report.
That's just the amendment.
Now the rest of the equipment. Now the rest of the equipment. Sure.
I make a motion that the balance of the equipment request be approved.
That's already been made. Has it not?
The committee made it.
Yeah. So, it's on the table now.
Right. Second.
No, you don't have to second.
You don't have to second. All right. So right now, the committee presented the equipment needs minus the luxuries.
Right. Now you vote on the original.
Now, any further discussion on any of the equipment items? Any of the remaining?
Hold on a second now. So what are we getting ready to vote on?
The rest of the balance of the equipment.
The minus the $37,000. So that would be amended.
The rest of it.
Oh, I thought the total was $37,000.
No, those are $300,000.
That was $60,000.
Boardroom upgrades are gone.
It's been removed.
Oh, okay.
Everything else.
Everything else is on the table. Okay.
Bill Warren's toys are on there.
Oh, I'm sorry, John.
All right. Welfare, we're still equipment needs. And by the way, this will come back again at budget time.
Okay.
Guys, when we approve the fiscal year 2020 budget, there will be another opportunity.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, there was some discussion about the video being broke off. In the meantime, could we get some numbers on that?
They can come back and do some absolutely needed.
Thank you.
Right now it's scratched. Roll call on the equipment needs.
No.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conway.
Aye.
And
Shepard. Yes. Item 11, Treasurer's Report.
The Treasurer recommends items A through J be approved by the full board. I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Danny Bailey. Anyone from the public? Just a comment. Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Yes.
Peters.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Bailey.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conway. Aye. No. Yes. Item 12, legal update. I need a motion to go into executive session.
Second
to go into executive session to discuss real estate.
What is the litigation on?
Roll call.
He's off the litigation.
Yeah.
I
thought that's what it was.
Oh, roll call on. I'm sorry. Roll call on going into executive session.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bailey.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Stonewall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeffers.
Yes.
To draw the executive session?
Second. Moved and second.
Yes.
McCormick.
McCormick.
Yes.
I'm a roll call.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bailey.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Yes.
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 Yes. Everyone went home.
13, chairperson's report. I'm going to adopt Reverend Caesar's unofficial, well, it's an official title, and take this opportunity to give a little sermon on what we've done with LB 177. And this is not up for debate, not up for discussion. It's my report, and then we're going to move on. For you newbies on this board, which is everyone except Teaser, myself, and Fred Conley. Sorry, Larry. I'm considering you a newbie, too, in a relative sense. In 2009, we debated LB 160. We went down the legislature. We need bonding authority. We need bonding authority. And it took 6 years to get there. There was some much misinformation. We actually talked about that, some of that tonight, about low-impact developments. That's the best way to do it, you know. And how many rain gardens? Lori left the room, but Lori's a rain garden fan. We would have to put 10,000 rain gardens within the city limits of Omaha at the time. Totally impossible to accomplish, especially considering the amount of runoff that's needed. So back then, it took a long time. We were very proud to be recipients of LB 160 and therefore our ability to bond. Here we are again, LB 177. Incredible amount of energy. This board voted to proceed. John Winkle did a fantastic job. I can't commend him enough for what he did with our government affairs representatives. I went down, Larry went down. A strong need for education. The senators that, with the exception of Chambers, Senator Chambers, they're all new since LB 160 was passed. So a lot of them had common sense. 38 of them? 37.
35 was the final.
35 had common sense. The others were totally misled. The work and the energy to dispel the negativism of this finance tool, which is all it is, finance tool, took energy. I was appalled listening to the debate on it. Senator Albright just blew my mind how she was talking this stuff. And it's like, I know where she gets the stuff. I do. And it's unfortunate that stuff like that is fed into these senators. Hey, I gotta say no on this because I heard it from this entity or this person. There were lies that were told on the floor, outright lies. The innuendo, it was an innuendo tonight that we had interest-free loan to developer. You folks heard that tonight. That's nothing but a lie. We never had an interest-free loan, but the state senator down there believed some of this stuff. Certainly the mission as it is, as we evolve into new senators with term limits, is to educate those folks, your newbies on the board. I'm okay with a healthy discussion, but please absorb it, because some of us, Teaser, Conley, myself, Fowler would be another one, because we've heard this before. We've heard that 10,000 rain gardens is not functional. It's not reality. So let's just forget about that stuff. We did have a positive effort. John mentioned the amount of cities that they came together and said, yeah, this makes sense. The bottom line on getting bonding authority, it's finance tool. We financed $70 million. We have literally saved millions of dollars of tax dollars. Don't ask me for the number. I don't have it. My instinct and my service on this board for 20 years says if we didn't have bonding authority, we had to save a penny, literally a penny. And we did that in 2003 or 4. The board said, let's take a penny of our mill levy and put it aside. I can't remember the name of the account we had it in, but it took 4 years
to get $16 million and we help pay for Prairie Queen Lake. Now, what if we had had that $16 million in year one? How much money would we have saved on construction costs? You're in the construction business. And the land acquisition issues, we would have saved millions back then. So we got bonding authority. We're able to issue bonds. Yes, there's a cost to it. But the alternative is we take out a loan. What's the value of a loan? You're in the finance business versus bonding in a government bond. Over time, millions. I'm very proud that we got bonding authority. I hope, and we will use it wisely. One thing I, in the last 10 years, us old ones, sorry, you newbies, you guys still learn, and I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with teaching you, and the others of us will continue to teach. Marlon, all his years, will teach me even. You know, I don't know it all. I'm not saying I do. But those that literally, that one penny that we will continue to use to finance these bonds will save millions of dollars. It'll save the effort and energy that John had and the public, the government affairs reps that we dearly paid. It blows my mind that that one of the lobbyists against our bonding bill has paid $18,000 to say, don't vote this. Don't vote on that. That's a lot of money to say, don't vote on and tell some more lies and some innuendos that really divert the issue. Senator Albright said, oh, you don't have any farmers on your board. What's that have to do with financing our bonds? But it became an issue. Oh, my gosh, I wish I could have said, it doesn't matter. By the way, we have two folks that are connected with the farming. And I told her that in a subsequent email. I said, no, we got two that are in the farming. However, that is, applies to your the financing of this these structures. What we heard in a couple of years ago, Senator Filowski introduced a bill to extend this indefinitely. What I've heard in the Natural Resource Commission, Larry, you may hear this too, is the other NRDs, they need 60% of the or 40% of the project costs. They want bonding authority as well. We have set a fantastic track record through our budget process, through the keeping track of and I say penny because it really is one penny of our mill levy, to finance these projects and not raise the mill levy. We still have not determined future mill levy rates, but we will shortly, so stay tuned on that. But the other NRDs, you know, they love to have bonding authority. That's what I hear at these conferences. I heard at the conference or the Natural Resource Commission that, you know, 40% of a project, that's significant. If I had bonding authority, I could issue a government bond and save a lot of money. Stay tuned on that. We got this letter from the Air Force that you all have a copy. That is significant. That kind of says, you know, we're doing something right. The fact that we didn't have flooding in the Papio Park or Papio watershed says a lot. We're not done yet. I don't think we'll ever build 29 dams totally, but it was a plan. The bonding authority helps pick off those that we can. And your question to him earlier about, we don't have money, we won't build it. Well, that's true. We don't have unlimited mill levy. I guess overall, when I was in Washington, Senator Ben Sasse talked about Nebraska and the effort of neighbor to neighbor. I'm involved in my neighbor association, Kyra. She left, but she is too. And neighbor to neighbor means my neighbor across the street, my neighbor five blocks over. What he put in perspective is the strength that Nebraska has. Get her done. I got this T-shirt to reflect that. I'm going to wear it proudly. I won't wear it every meeting because I won't. I want to wear it as an emphasis that, you know, Nebraska's, I'm proud. I shared the videos of my family and friends on Facebook that shows what we did as a state to react to the flooding. That's beyond our control. It's God's hand that does that, and we got to be prepared.
Being prepared means we got to build some dams that help save lives and property. If we will diminish the floodplain and save money in that regard too. Thank God I don't have to pay flood insurance. So we are strong as a state. I hope to continue a strong education here with the newbies and count on us old guys to say we've been there, done that, not as a reason not to do something different, but, you know, we need to get on and move on with a lot of other things. And that's flood control. That's the main thing, water quality. Trails might wait. Fancy equipment, as we will find out, can wait. But our emphasis is on flood control in the most economical way. So I'm happy, very happy. Bonding authority has now been given for 5 years. We should be okay. We can't bond indefinitely because we don't have the mill levy for it. So we need to recognize that and react accordingly. I'll step out of my pulpit and move on to item 14, General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll let everybody read this. I won't keep you any longer. Just one item. The district was named one of Nebraska's safest companies again for the 11th consecutive year. There is a luncheon to celebrate that on Wednesday, May 15th. So if anyone would like to go, let me know. I think we have one already, one director already. So we can't have a quorum, but if you've got a couple others like to go, let me know. It's at the Embassy Suites Hotel.
Gene, I'd like to.
And then also you can read the partnership report as well as the current and ongoing project with the District Legal Counsel. And Jim did touch on the letter we received from the Air Force. And I like when he underlined strengthen our bonds because that means they're going to continue to rebuild that base. And I believe they have another estimate that's going to be even higher than the $420 million. I don't know if that came out yet. So they're very anxious for us to get started. To rehab that levy and to get that. Just one note, now that we're done with the Nebraska legislature, now we're starting to move our efforts to Congress and try to get some language in the supplemental bill that will help us and our taxpayers to pay some expenses from flood damage on the federal levies we have. So I've been working with Senator Fisher's office extremely close to try to get that language in a supplemental that's kind of hung up right now in the Senate. So keep our fingers crossed. It will literally be worth millions of dollars to the district if we can get that language inserted. We're also working with our congressional delegation. Congress, and they're a little at a disadvantage due to the fact Nebraska only has three representatives. So we get a lot more traction in the Senate when everybody's equal. So I'll continue to update you as those things progress. But it's big. It's big for the district. It's big for our taxpayers if we can get Congress to move on that particular language that we're submitting. So that concludes my report.
I had one question. Is there any information on the United States Army Corps of Engineers of Papio study? Anything, any preliminary information on that?
No, we had a meeting today, and they've been so diverted with response to floods. You know, a lot of their people are dealing with that. So there's some limited information, but they're not where they need to be.
Yeah, because initially I know they were going to have something in the springtime, they'd say. And so,
go ahead, Amanda, if you want.
Yeah, they have a lot of preliminary information, and they're just starting.
June. And where would that be? Like here or Concordia Heights?
We were just talking about that today. I think based on where they.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And they're going to try to focus them on where the proposed projects will be in those areas. So.
All right.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, General Manager Winker. Item 15, informational items. Please note the Papio Creek Watershed Partnership meeting is here at 10 o'clock on May 23rd. If you want to observe that, those who are interested in what the partnership does, now that we have a new agreement in the process of being approved. Wish you all well in the solemn time of Memorial Day, and however you may celebrate it. And it's probably a memorial service down at Memorial Park. Do you know that, Larry? Whenever that might be.
1,100 hours.
Yeah. Anyways, please reflect accordingly.
Item 16, most importantly right now anyway, we are adjourned.